Well, welcome back to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. So great to be here with our musical producer and all-around handyman here at Wild Rose Moon, John Baylor. And John, before you start that song, I wanted to, you know, we were talking about the history of Wild Rose Moon, and I was thinking about your involvement with Open Mic. You've done a number of open mics since you've been here, haven't you?
Yeah, I host the first open mic on the first Wednesday of every month.
On the first Wednesday of every month. And how does that work exactly? How does a normal...
Still trying to figure it out. But we come in here, we usually get eight acts up there that do 15 minutes of, you know, sometimes original music, sometimes cover tunes, sometimes comedy, poetry reading, magic shows, just
Don't
whatever.
Make it sound like we don't have any rules now, John.
George, this is a fun, entertaining radio program. I don't think we should get bogged down with rules.
Okay.
15 right. minutes.
Okay. Shucks. So, anyway, I thought, and I appreciated that one time. I think it was a couple times back. You were doing the open mic, and I noticed something different about you. And I was really astonished to see that John had forgotten to wear his hat.
It does happen every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little startling. Because then I could see your whole head then.
That was startling, George?
Yeah, well, I mean...
I think I have a very nice head.
Well, I didn't mean to malign your head. Really, as heads go, I think it's just stellar.
Thank you.
Yes. So, speaking of stellar, let's go right into this next song. What is this song about?
Well, this song is called Small Towns of America, and I'm just kind of a lover of small towns. I never really lived in one. I lived out in the middle of nowhere, and my people would ask, especially ask my dad where it was we were from. He'd say, oh, we're out around Bennett's Switch, Plevna, and Wapakon, if that tells you anything. And sounds like it worked. And for those people who aren't real familiar, then he'll say, well, what about Cassville? You know where that one is? And they say no. And he said, how about Kokomo? You ever heard of that town? And eventually, I don't know, even though, like I say, we kind of are out in the middle of nowhere, we identify a lot more with the small towns and with the big cities and kind of love small town way of life a little bit more than we love big city way of life. So that's where a number like this one comes in.
Okay. Well, I want to
mention one other small town, if I can... just take a second to mention the small town of Battleground, Indiana, has the Indiana Fiddlers Gathering, and that's the last full weekend of June, and I'll be playing there with my family band. We do a gospel program Sunday morning, and then we do a afternoon program there as well. So come check out that. Again, that's always the last full weekend in June. But here it is, Small Towns of America. I made a vow I would never write a song about New York and never write a song about L.A. I'll never write a song about Chicago. Of Miami I will never sing or play. But the small towns of America I could sing about one day. So I might write about Nawbone, Indiana. I might write about Burnt Corn, Alabama. I could write an anthem on an old Missouri town called Tightwad. There's a beer bottle crossing Idaho, Hard Scratch, Iowa. There's a town in Tennessee, it's called Smart, spelled with two T's. Now there are some small towns I will never sing about, like Boring, Oregon, Dummer, New Hampshire, Dahl, Ohio, or Pee-Pee, Ohio. No, I will stick to places worthy of song, like Sweet Heaven, Gun Barrel City, that's in Texas, of course, spunky puddle, Atomic City. And maybe in the future I will sing about Future City or Ding Dong, also in Texas. Bigfoot, bow legs, hand place, Fingerville, frog eye, sleepy eye, smut eye, booger hole, bald head, bald knob, bushy head, cocked hat, shoulder blade, and pod liquor flats. Big bottom, broad bottom, butts, filled butts, yeehaw, junction, toad suck, crapo, keister, elephant, butte, zipperlandville, and board tush. Maybe one day I will write about dead whore, Conception Junction, or intercourse, Next City, Wahoo, or Sweet Lips. And maybe when I'm older, I will write about French Lick. But I'll never write a song about New York, and never write a song about LA. I'll never write a song about Chicago. Of Miami I will never sing or play. But the small towns of America I could sing about one day.
That was just great. That was great, John.
And now, Yabba Dabba Doo. Let's ride with a family down the street for a page right out of history. Give it up for the Moonatics. The Moonatics. And tonight's episode, The Superhero Posse. On tonight's show, we're going to take a look into the Plymouth City Council chambers, where a crowd of angry townspeople have gathered. Mayor Middle is about to wrap things up.
Well, this sure was a boring meeting, but I'm guessing by the large crowd something big is brewing. Well, now open the floor for patron comments. Remember, tell us your name, where you live, and come on now, keep it civil. Yeah, you, ma'am.
Eleanor Rump. Nutmeg Road. I'll tell you what's brewing. The superheroes in this town are lousy.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I am not sure I understand. Our superheroes are a testament to the vitality of this great community. Plymouth has the most superheroes per capita of any city in the state of Indiana.
Well, that doesn't change the fact that they stink.
But now they are highly decorated. Justice Fellow just received an award for being the most patriotic hero in northern Indiana. Gravity Boy was third in the Northern Lakes Conference pole vault. Six-Toed Man was an age group winner in the Blueberry Stomp. Now, what more could you ask?
They can't get anything done when you need them. The other day, a supervillain was stealing my lawn ornaments. I called Ice Guy right away, but he gave me the cold shoulder. He said he couldn't make an appointment for 8 weeks.
Yeah, come on, Ice Guy.
Wait, so then I called Mr. Lightning. He said he was about to start a magic show, and maybe he could come when it was over.
Hold on. Stealing lawn ornaments sounds pretty petty. Now, how do you know he was a supervillain, ma'am?
I knew as soon as I saw him that he was a supervillain. He was invisible.
Did you call the police?
I did. They're working hard, but they haven't been able to locate anyone matching that description.
I see. I don't see. Never mind. Thanks for voicing your concern. Are there others here tonight with the same complaint? Yeah, you over there.
Weldon Dittmeyer, Pioneer Drive. The same thing happened to me a couple nights ago when a supervillain kidnapped Sheldon, my Siamese twin. If I'd have been able to get help sooner, we might still be together.
I thought you looked different.
Oh, it's an improvement, that's for sure. He was ugly.
And did you get help eventually?
Yeah, but I had to call every superhero in the phone book.
That must have taken all night.
It sure did. Finally, I was able to get a hold of the sleepless man. But by then, the operation was almost over. And wouldn't you know, before I had a chance to tell him where I was, the battery died on my cell phone.
Operation? You were making phone calls on the operating table, huh?
Oh, sure. Dr. Pervious didn't even care. He said he knew I wouldn't be able to reach anyone. I'll never forget his wicked words. He said, "No one can save you now. All the superheroes are at the Mayor's Month of Music."
Well, it's a bit hard to fault them for that. We all know these people have day jobs, other commitments. They can't always be expected to respond promptly. I suppose that's what we need from our superheroes. I'm willing to entertain suggestions on how to address this.
I have an idea. Ron McKinley, Center Street. Why don't we create a central office? That way, we wouldn't have to call every single hero in town.
Yeah, that's what they do in the port.
We could call it something like the Justice Outfit, or the Superhero Posse, or the Muster of Downright Incredible Folks.
Okay, so this would be part of city government?
No government.
Well, we have to find volunteers. Volunteers have to run it then. Who would be able to take charge with this?
The Justice Outfit.
Come on.
Not Mr. Lightning, that's for sure. He's nothing but a shameless promoter. He doesn't even have a secret identity. Do you know what his day job is? He's president of his own fan club.
And the sleepless man is a great guy, but he's not leadership material. He's a born loner.
And Ice Guy is a nerd.
Wow, well, you know, now that you mention it, I guess they really do stink. Well, so who else is there? Dirt Man? The Creeper? Scott Skiles? Does anybody have any suggestions for a superhero who could be in charge?
I recommend Justice Fellow. He's a natural leader and is good at getting new projects off the ground. I would be glad to contact him.
Yeah, I believe I've heard of him. Do you really think he'll accept?
I know for a fact he will.
Oh, you know him?
Yes. Him and I are close friends. In fact, it was at my antique store that he bought his amazing, villain-whacking, puppy-saving, damsel-wooing Sword of Justice. I get artifacts like that in there all the time.
Swords? Well, most excellent. Let's offer Justice Fellow leadership of the...
Super Fellows.
Incredible folks.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's settled then. Ron, could you inform Justice Fellow of our decision?
I will, Mayor. Little do they realize, I am Justice Fellow.
So, Justice Fellow became the first leader of the...
Incredible folks.
He soon recruited many of Plymouth, Indiana's finest superheroes.
Now begins our new era of heroism in this great city. The superhero posse is assembled and ready to fight the forces of evil. Are you ready, Ice Guy?
Ready, Justice Fellow.
How about you, Eleanor?
That's Miss Empowered.
Right. Then it's time for our first mission. Do you know that big brick house on Michigan Street?
Yeah.
Well, I've got bad news, team. It's alive, and the chimney is shouting profanity at our fair citizens.
Sounds like somebody needs an extreme makeover.
Let's go.
And that concludes tonight's episode of the Superhero Posse.
What brick house was that?
That was the Superhero Posse, a feature of the Moonatics with John Baylor, Jim Bowen, Tim Wagoner, Clark DeFluter, and Bev Woods, and Dan Schupert, and me, your announcer guy, Sid Schroyer.
All right, it's great to be back. Great to be back after that lovely skit. I was thinking about that, the superheroes thing, and I just wondered how difficult that must have been to think up all that stuff. And also, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that song. You know, when you got going there, it kind of got me dizzy. And I kind of understood, as I heard that list of names, what we were talking about earlier about rules. I thought,
George, there are so many small towns I didn't even get a chance to name.
Yeah, that was incredible. Anyway, we're lucky, John, to have another guest from who works at Wild Rose Moon and has been very instructive and helpful to me during the process of germination. Can I use that word, germination?
Works for me.
How are you? All right with that?
Sure.
It's spring, after all. And that germination of the idea itself. And you helped immeasurably with all our open mics. Do you remember that first open mic?
I sure do. It was great.
And how many people were there? I can't remember.
Well, it was you, me, and our friend Kathy Smart.
That was, I think,
that was it.
Yeah.
So,
and how many did we have at last open mic?
Well, we had our eight performers, and I think there were probably 75 people in the audience.
It
maybe
was incredible,
something like that.
What's really exciting is that Tim knows music so well, and listens on. Listens on YouTube and knows a lot of the seminal players that are involved with American roots music. And he has that in his background. And so it's great. Tim and I often talk about the musicians that are going to come here, and we kind of talk about them in relationship to how we think they're going to work here and also how they're tied into American roots. And he's always giving me information I had nothing, no idea about. We've tried to get a number of different people here. Tim has tried. Remember when I asked you to get Bruce Coburn.
Right.
So tell him about that story.
Well, I called Bruce's manager, and I was really excited about the fact that maybe we could get him here. He's from Canada, great folk singer, writer, and I was informed that...
You don't tell him the amount.
Oh, okay.
No, we might get mail then.
Yeah. It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot. So,
yeah, and I don't blame
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bruce is an interesting guy. But
oh, yeah, he's great.
And then after that, I talked to Tim, and Tim said, hey, I've got an idea. And tell him what the idea
Which
was.
Which one?
About getting your favorite.
Oh, John Gorka.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I called John's manager, and it worked out. So he's going to be here this fall.
Not only is John Gorka going to come and perform at the Moon, he's going to do the radio show.
Yep. This stage right here. So
you, that is one heck of a guy. And so we feel really lucky to have him. He's an international artist. If you don't know his work, I recommend you go out online and take a look at it. He's a great songwriter.
Incredible.
Wonderful voice. Beautiful, resonant voice, unlike anybody else's. So it's something else. So, Tim, and about yourself, what about your background in music?
Well, I grew up in the 60s, so like most people, I love the Beatles and the Stones and the Who. The Who. Paul Simon, big Paul Simon fan, and then progressed into the 70s, and I was a big Jethro Tull fan. And also I like people like Mississippi John Hurt Lightnin' Hopkins and Big Bill Brunzi, Reverend Gary Davis. Nowadays, I mean, and in the last 20 years, one of my guitar heroes has been Jorma Kaukonen. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but Jorma was the guitar player for Jefferson Airplane. He's an incredible guitar player. So Jorma was, also I like people like Norman Blake and Johnny Cash and just a huge range. I'm just a big music fan, really. So.
And he keeps me up to date, keeps telling me about new bands and new groups. And when I get a query in the mail, email, I often send it to him to listen to. so he can help review it, and we talk about it together. So a lot of the heart of every act that comes here really funnels right through Tim, so we should give him a big hand for that.
Thanks. Thank you.
Anyway, and you're going to do a song for us.
Yeah, I'm going to do an old folk song. It's called Railroad Bill. Railroad Bill was a bad man, so... Railroad Bill, Railroad Bill, never earned an honest dollar, bet he never will. Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Railroad Bill, Railroad Bill, he lived way up on top of old Railroad Hill. Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Was a mighty mean man. He shot the lantern out of Brakeman's hand. Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Railroad Bill, Railroad Bill. Well, he lights his cigars with a $20 bill. Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Mrs. McMillan, she hollered and she squalled. She said, "That was my husband. I heard him fall." Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Railroad Bill, well, he said before he died that he'd build him a railroad for all the bums to ride. Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? On top of old Railroad Hill. Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Won't you roll on Railroad Bill? Won't you roll on Railroad Bill?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
What a great job, Tim. That was terrific. That was terrific. Well, that was just great. We had the Moonatics. That was a new thing for us. And we had Tim and John's wonderful song. And up next, we have George and Michelle Schricker are going to share a song, I believe. And also, our equipment manager par excellence, Howard Gibbs, is going to come up and play with Tim Pike, I believe. So we'll see you around the bend.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, the Bruce G. and Mary A. Robert Family Foundation, Nancy and Dan Schmelter, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.